Anyway, it's always like that. You do your best to keep to yourself, and then one fine day, without knowing how, you find you're caught up in something that sweeps you along with it to the bitter end. Personally, I would happily have stayed out of the race. I'd known all kinds of people, some who'd reached the finishing post, and others who hadn't even gotten off the starting block, and sooner or later they all ended up equally dissatisfied, which is why I'd come to the conclusion that it was better to stay on the sidelines and just observe life. But I hadn't reckoned with being desperately short of money one rainy day at the beginning of spring last year. All the rest followed naturally, as these things do. Let me make it clear from the start that I don't blame anyone. I was dealt my cards, and I played them. That's all. And this bay really is magnificent. It's overlooked by a Saracen fortress on top of a rocky promontory that juts out into the sea for 100 yards or so. Looking toward the coast, I can see the dazzling spread of beach and the green of the low Mediterranean vegetation. Farther on, a 3-lane highway, deserted at this time of year, tunnels into a chain of rocky hills glittering in the sun. The sky is blue, the sea clear. I couldn't have chosen better, truth be told. I've always loved the sea. There must have been something in my boyhood tendency to linger on beaches that reflected the impulse that had led my grandfather to spend his youth on Mediterranean merchant ships before landing in Milan, that gloomy city, and cramming an apartment full of children. I knew this grandfather. He was a grey-eyed old Slav who died surrounded by a large number of descendants. The last words he managed to utter were a request for a little seawater. And my father, as the eldest son, left one of my sisters to mind his stamp shop and set off for Genoa in his car. I went with him. I was 14, and I remember we didn't say a word for the whole of the ride. My father never talked a lot, and since I was already giving him a few problems with my lack of progress at school, it was in my best interests to keep quiet. It was the shortest of my trips to the sea, just long enough to fill a bottle, but also the most pointless, because by the time we got back, Grandpa was almost completely unconscious. My father washed the old man's face with water from the bottle, but Grandpa didn't seem to particularly appreciate it. A few years later, the fact of the sea being so close was one of the things that drew me to Rome. After my military service, I was faced with the problem of what to do with my life. But the more I looked around, the less I was able to come to a decision. My friends had very clear ideas. Graduate, get married, make money. But that was a prospect that repelled me. These were the years when money mattered even more than usual in Milan, the years that saw a kind of nationwide conjuring trick also known as the economic boom, and in a way I too benefited from it. It was at this time that a medical literary magazine, for which I occasionally wrote a few well-judged but badly paid articles, had the opportunity to open an office in Rome, and I was hired as their correspondent. While my mother used every argument she could to prevent my departure, my father said nothing. He'd silently watched my attempts at social integration, comparing them with the successes of my elder sisters, who at a young age had married white-collar workers, perfectly respectable men, and as I had done during that trip to get water for my grandfather, I took advantage of his silence to keep quiet myself. He and I never talked. I don't know which of us was to blame. I don't even know if you can talk about blame here, but I always had the feeling that if I'd confronted him directly, I would somehow have hurt him.